All right. So I think we've all heard the camp theme at least 10 times now, so I'm not going to bother saying it. Last night, Pastor Simon gave a great talk, and I feel like mine's almost exactly the same, except none of the scriptures he used were mine, so that's great. I'm giving part two. If we could all open up to Ephesians 5:15, please. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So I'm just going to break it down a little bit. In verse 15, see then you walk circumspectly. So circumspectly, I googled that because I didn't actually know what it meant at the time. It just means diligently and carefully. Like, we need to be aware of what's going on around our lives and in our lives, trying to always be improving and staying vigilant, reminding ourselves. And then in verse 16, which kind of has something to do with the camp theme, redeeming the time, because the Lord will come back quickly, because the days are evil. So redeeming comes from the word... I'm going to butcher this, but exagoradzo, which means rescue from loss, buy back the time wasted, like improving the opportunity, because we're all human, we've all wasted a bit of time in our lives, but we can aim to be useful with the time we have now to really thank the Lord for what we've got given. In the next verse, 17, wherefore you be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's what we can do with our time. If we could quickly jump over, keep your finger there, but jump over to John 12, verse 47. John 12, verse 47. In verse 47, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. So the aim of the will of God is to save the world. And so that's kind of what our thing is now, because Jesus died for us. And then we take on his yoke, which I'll talk about later, and so he takes care of our things. So we've got to kind of focus on, if we're redeeming our time, is we've got to do the Lord's work. So we can quickly jump back to Ephesians 5. In verse 17, wherefore you be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So if we can do what the Lord did, is he saved the world, so we're kind of here to do the same thing and go out and preach his word and share and care and love with one another. In verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So we don't drink, so we got that bit down pat, I hope. But wherein is excess, that word kind of, I'm not even going to bother saying the Greek version, but it's kind of like profligacy. I can't even say the English one, which it means not being useful with your time, or dissipation, overindulgence of pleasure. So I have a bit of a problem when I get home from work and I'm feeling super tired and I sit down on the couch and then I bust out Netflix for the 4 hours and then get Uber Eats and I sit and I waste a lot of time when I could be reading the Bible or praying or anything else. And I'm sure everybody else does something like that. So we could be a little bit more useful with our time like that, and we could... it comes down to like the parable of talents, which was brought out last night as well, is that we've been given the Holy Spirit, which is our talent. So what can we do with this instead of chilling on Netflix at home? If you read the rest of that book, it's actually really helpful. It's got a lot of stuff in there that's really good, even some lame stuff like obey your parents. But if we could just to emphasize on the will of God, don't worry about turning there, but in 2 Peter 3:9 it says, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should become to repentance. And in 1 Timothy 2, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. So that's kind of like a really huge topic that we need to try and get everyone to be saved. That's, we can redeem our time and we can use our talents well by spreading the word and helping one another share the word. If we could quickly jump over to Matthew 11. Matthew 11 and verse 28. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So Jesus' yoke was to save, and he did. He died for all of us, and he's the reason we can have the Holy Spirit. And so he gave us the Holy Spirit, which is our talent, and so we need to do something with that now. So it's like we've got a job. It's pretty serious. We've got a job, and you don't rock up to work, grab a tea or a coffee, sit down and chat for 4 hours, because you get fired. So we've got to kind of go out and tell people about the good word that we've got. So it might seem difficult, but Jesus' yoke is easy. So if you feel like you've got stress at work or something like that, pray about it, because it's the easy yoke. If you think it's really difficult to talk to someone, you might find that because Jesus' yoke is the easiest, that it might seem really difficult, but it will sort whatever's difficult in your life if you put God first. Because if we put God first, everything else just falls into place. So we don't need to play it safe, because like the guy with the talent, with the one talent that he stuck it in the ground, he thought he'd play it safe and he hid his talent, and we know it didn't turn out that great. He not good at all. But the other two, even though one of them didn't make too much and one made heaps, but they were all blessed because they did something with it. The Lord's not going to give you something and then tell you to do something with it, and then, like, I think there's a scripture saying, you ask for something good, he's not going to give you a serpent. It's of the Lord. You do the thing for the Lord, it's going to be good. Because God might not come back for 30 years or 40 years, or might come back in 5 seconds. But when he does, he comes quickly. There's no changing up. There's do not pass go. Do not collect $200. When he comes back, he comes back. We can't dig up our talent and say, here it is. We go, look what I've done in the last 30 years for you. The time for the work of the Lord is now. We can rest when he comes back. We could quickly go to Ecclesiastes 11. Ecclesiastes 11, and we're starting in verse 1. "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for you know not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. As you knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of that is her with child, even so you knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether it shall prosper either this or that, or whether both shall be good alike." So that's just an awesome passage there. So our job is to save the world, because we've got Jesus' yoke. So we can't save everybody, but we can at least preach to those around us, or we can go out in the street and tell people there. But it's rain, hail, or shine. We do whatever work the Lord wants us to do when we can. In verse 3 it says, the end of verse 3. "If a tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall be." Something bad happens in your life, it's happened. The Lord will sort it, or the Lord is sorting it. But you don't need to worry about it. If you put the Lord first, everything will sort itself out. It's happened. So relax. In verse 4. Man, the flies are just killer up here. "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap." So it's never, the conditions will never ever be perfect. Something always is going to suck. It might be too hot, might be too cold, you might be overworked, you might be tired, but it's got to be done. Like, we've got to do the work for the Lord. He's given us something so great and so amazing that it's just, any time we can, we should be doing something with it. In verse 5, "As you knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so you knowest not the works of the Lord who maketh all." So we don't know everything. We might not know the Bible back to back or all its meanings, and if you do, I would love to know more about Revelations. We might not know everything, but we do know that God's love is there, and we've got God's love, and we can give God's love, and we can show people what it is. So in verse 6, "In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether it shall prosper either this or that, or whether they shall both be good alike." So we know we've got God's love, and our task is to share that with others and show them the truth and show them the way to God. So we should be doing that as much as we can, because it's a pretty decent task. So, amen.